This is Gulf Coast Live from WGCU News. I'm John Davis. Thanks for joining us. Gritty, soulful vocals, dizzying twin guitars, and a punishing rhythm section. That's what's in store for our show later this hour when we hear Fort Myers' own rock and roll band, The Electric Mud, perform live in studio just before they hit the road on their first national tour. But first, dancers take the stage this Sunday, June 24th, at the Broadway Palm Dinner Theater here in Fort Myers for a festival of dance performances in honor of the late Jean Beauchesne. Jean, or Mrs. Beaujean, as she was called, died in February at the age of 89. She was a pioneering dance instructor, entrepreneur, and named Grand Dame. Jean Beauchesne founded the Dance Beauchesne Studio in Fort Myers in 1951 and taught thousands of students in the forms of ballet, tap, modern, hip-hop, jazz, and others over a teaching career that spanned seven decades. Before opening the studio, she performed with the New York City Ballet and the Rockettes in the 1940s. She was also known locally for her tireless advocacy for the performing arts. Ahead of this Sunday's tribute performance, Beauchesne's daughter, Elise, joins us in studio for a preview of this Sunday's upcoming tribute festival as we look back on the life, accomplishments, and contributions of this remarkable woman. Elise now directs and teaches at the studio that her mother founded. Her own talent has earned her scholarships to the Joffrey Ballet and the NYU Tisch School for the Arts. She's performed and toured internationally with dance companies, including Mark Morris, Rachel Lambert, and Mae O'Donnell, and brings a mastery of a variety of dance styles to her students. Thanks so much for joining us. Welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
And I invite listeners to join the conversation as well. Did you take dance classes from Jean Beauchesne or work with her in arts advocacy endeavors? Give us a call now and share your experiences and appreciations. Phone lines are open at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU. Use the hashtag GCL. And I wanted to start our conversation, you know, with some of your insights from the perspective of being Jean's daughter. I mean, as one might imagine, your own dance training, of course, started with her. Do you recall how old you were when that began?
Oh, well, I do know the story.
Okay.
And the story is that I was probably two or three, something very small.
Wow.
And we lived in a wood frame Florida house up on pilings. And I would stand at the screen door and say, "Mommy Jean, I want to go with you." And I did it so much that she did take me with her.
Oh, wow.
And I began my time in our studio growing up.
Did you start off primarily with ballet instruction? Is that generally where you go?
I have all kinds of memories of being in ballet class, being in creative class, being upside down, doing monkey rolls and all kinds of funny shenanigans that kids love to do when they grow up. And that is one of the things that's wonderful about our studio is that to this day, we give kids those opportunities.
Oh, excellent, excellent. Do you think being Jean's daughter impacted her approach toward instructing? And by that, I mean, do you maybe think you had it easier than some of her other students, or did being her daughter maybe make it tougher?
That's a great question, John. She was the dancer's teacher. She was always learning. She had a quest for knowledge that was insatiable. Mm. She took notes. She read books. She attended workshops. And her measuring stick was very high. So I think being her child, that measuring stick was right there, and you were always expected to come up to it and go above it. So her standards were very, very high.
No special favors. Gotcha. What about your brothers Liston and Lee? Did they receive dance instruction from mom too?
They did. She tried. They each stayed in for differing amounts of time. The thing that was so good about brothers is that my mom, Jean Beauchesne, was very, very good at coercing and getting the boys to come in and partner the girls so that we always had boys in the cafe scene or boys in the adage or boys to dance with, because girls like to dance with boys and boys like to dance with girls.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a lovely thing about having brothers. And they stayed in it, each one a different amount of time, but went on to other careers.
Right, right. And I know your brother Liston wanted to be with us today. It just wasn't possible. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if I can ask you to speak for him, you know, we know of among his exhaustive list of accomplishments, he was an Olympic athlete.
Yes.
Do you think he would attribute, you know, maybe some of that early dance instruction? Because there's so much athleticism and agility that's involved in that. Do you think that translated into maybe helping him and getting him on that athletic track?
Oh, I think absolutely. Absolutely. No one jumps higher than a male ballet dancer.
Yeah.
And although Liston did not pursue that, he had that arts appreciation and that physical drive that came from actually both of my parents, my mother being a dancer and my father being an accomplished football player. So there you go. You've got a good blend.
Yes. you know, and there was an article published about Jean's life by Melissa Montoya with the News Press, you know, several months back. And she had spoken with, you know, one of the instructors who had said that Jean kept a, quote, eagle eye on her students. Would you say she was, like, tough, but in a good way? You know, like, really demanding that precision that's, you know, really necessary for the foundation of a good dancer.
Yes. She had a way of getting the students to work, yet loving it.
Yeah.
And she had a way that people could never say no to her. So she had an eagle eye, but it was, I want to say, like, you know, the mother bear who would do anything to save her cub, yet she loves the cub. The most important thing is that the cub survive. And my mom would always say that the biggest reward is your student's success.
Yeah.
And, you know, give them that one big hug and send them, you know, on their way to achieve that success.
And in a lot of ways, you've kind of followed in your mother's footsteps. Did you always want to be a professional dancer? I'm just wondering if there was ever a point in your upbringing whenever you maybe just felt like you wanted to rebel and do something totally different.
I think any person growing up comes to that point and faces that point. Yet I never did drop out, even if I had wanted to. It was not on the list of choices. And so as I went along, I kind of looked into my toolbox and I said, hey, what can I do and what do I know? And through having the discipline of growing up in a dance studio, I had choices to make and I followed them. And it took me to a scholarship to college. It took me to a career in New York. It took me to traveling around the world. And I'm really glad to have had those things as part of my upbringing. When I looked back, I had something to pull from. I had a tree full of fruit.
I mean, you enjoyed success as a professional dancer, as you said, touring internationally with these big name companies that people know. And I'm wondering, what do you think that meant to your mom to see you having that success?
I think it meant a lot to her. It meant a lot to her, and I know she was very proud of all of us.
Yeah.
But she was always the teacher. She was always the leader. She was happy when we all came back home.
Elise Boshé is with us in studio today as we look back at the life, contributions, and accomplishments of her mother, Jean Boshé, who died earlier this year. The studio she founded is preparing to take the stage at the Broadway Palm Dinner Theater this Sunday for a festival of dance in honor of Jean. And if you'd like to join the conversation with your own remembrances or appreciations, give us a call right now. Phone lines are open at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Or on Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU. Use the hashtag GCL. And I wanted to go back a little and explore Jean's early years. I understand her initial introduction to dance came from within the family as well. Jean's uncle was a professional ballroom dancer.
Yes, the story goes is that he would come to visit, and she being a little girl and he being a very tall and debonair gentleman, he would wrap a shawl around her shoulders and then dance around the living room with her. And it was a memory that kind of sent her swirling off into her life. She started into dancing. And at that time, vaudeville was very, you know, dominant. And so there are lots of pictures of her as a young person in either tap shoes or in like acrobatic type duet formations with boys holding girls up above their head and, you know, a lot of flexibility, a lot of variety type dancing. And that took her on to seeking out ballet and seeking out other higher professional forms of dance. So, but it did. It all came from that very small time when someone gives you a gift of joy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and Jean ended up moving to Fort Myers after completing the first grade in the Tampa area. And despite having later, as you said, moved to New York, dancing with the New York City Ballet and, of course, the famous Rockettes, also studying in the UK. I think she toured around Florida a little bit after that as well.
Yes.
Before coming back to Fort Myers and, you know, really setting down roots. Did she ever talk to you about maybe what motivated her to come back here and or what it was about this place?
She loved Fort Myers. She loved Fort Myers. She was Southwest Florida. Yeah. She loved the plants that grew in the yard. She loved the animals that were around. She loved the beaches, the sky, the water. I think that was all very much a makeup of her soul.
And I know, again, this was something that she had discussed briefly when you two were on the show years ago, actually performing for Mina Edison. That's crazy.
Yes. She did. She was a young girl when she performed for Mina Edison, but right there at the Edison Ford Estates, which is a very big part of our community still, and a pinnacle kind of a memory to have crossed paths with someone as generative as the Edisons were.
And just again referencing that previous interview we'd had on this show marking the 60th anniversary season of the dance studio, I just wanted to play a little bit of that conversation. And this is with you and Jean and former WGCU host and reporter Valerie Alker. And this is talking a bit about her time with the Rockettes from the 1940s.
I wanted to go back to your days as a Rockette. That wasn't ballet.
It was interesting because at that time the Rockette Theater had an ice rink in the center. So it was both an ice and dance show. I was not an ice skater, but I was a dancer. And so while they would be polishing up their skates, we would do center stage work and line work. And other people that I was in the show with later have become national figures. Gus Giordano is one. We performed together at the Roxy. A dancing person that goes to conventions and study groups will catch that name, Gus Giordano, formerly of Chicago.
And so you danced like the, I'm picturing the June Taylor dancers.
Yes. Yep, you got it. Precision work.
Precision work. So
yeah, I thank you. That's a nice word. I said line work. It's precision line work. Yeah.
Precision
tap dancing and high kicks and unison look.
And that was, this was what, during the 1940s or 50s?
40s, late
the 40s. 40s. And so that was sort of the heyday of all that too, wasn't it, when they were having all those extravagant musical films and the water follies, the Esther Williams and all that kind of stuff.
You're right on it.
So do you miss that? Why did you make that decision to give up the glamorous life and go back to college in Orlando, Florida?
I saw more future in a future life. I had met the man that was not my husband yet, but it came true. We're still happily married many years now. And so after college, we had our wedding in the chapel, and here we are in Fort Myers.
At the chapel at Rollins College?
Yes, it's a beautiful Italian style.
And so then you came back home to Fort Myers, and you also had a family. Obviously, one of your offspring sitting with us here today, but then you decided to launch the dance studio because you still had that urge to dance and to teach.
To share. I would say to share. When you have something you love, you want other people to love it too.
I love that sound clip there, just for as much as the stories from the 40s as how it ended there, because that just seemed to just totally encapsulate what she was doing. It was really about sharing dance.
Yes. A wonderful clip and very true to her. And it was about sharing. Yeah. She took many people with her and helped many, many people.
And she founded Danse Boucher in 1951. Can you talk about how remarkable that was, just in terms of, you know, I can't imagine there being much else in this area at that time in terms of access to dance instruction, much less a business owned and operated by a woman.
Yes. I think that the story, you know, goes that she and my father returned to Fort Myers after being in the Air Force. My father was in a mid-air collision and was injured seriously. And so they came back to Fort Myers. And then, as with any young family, you go, now what are we going to do? And she said, well, I can teach dance. And I think that led her into finding a space that was my grandfather was Mr. Norman. He had an auto parts store here that was a very large chain going around the Southwest Florida area. And he said, well, you can have my machine shop with grease on the walls and grease on the floors. And you're thinking about beautiful pink point shoes and dance outfits and tap shoes. But they went in there and they cleaned it up and they turned it into the studio where we are today, down on Widman Way, downtown Fort Myers. They added a ballet studio to the original machine shop that became the studio.
Wow.
And it was one of a kind. There wasn't another dance school.
Yeah.
I believe that there were other people that were interested in the arts, and my mom met and collaborated with them all. But as far as another dance studio, she was the only studio. And the remarkable thing is that it was a woman's business. It was a woman's business in the 50s,
yeah,
into the 60s, when we had not yet had the women's liberation movement. And my mom, I believe, went to the bank and said, I need a business loan. I'd like to open and share what I know and serve the community. And they said, we're so sorry. You know, we can't do that. But it was because she was a woman.
Wow.
And so she figured out other ways to get along and to grow and to be the influence that she became in so many young lives.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned this was, you know, years before Women's Lib. This was also more than a decade before the passage of the Civil Rights Act. And something else Jean was known for was really taking students indiscriminately. It,
yes,
it didn't matter your background, your skin color, your ethnicity. I'm wondering if she ever caught flack for that in the community, just given how severely segregated this community was.
That's a good musing. I wonder. I was not aware of any of that. But I do know that my mom, she traveled well in the community, but she was very focused and she was very dedicated to her art, to her teaching, to what she shared. Yeah.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And the studio, it's a Fort Myers staple now. You're in your, what, 68th, 69th
68.
Season?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wow. Were there ever times over the years when, you know, whether you were working there or not, where they were worried about the studio being able to make it? Because I'm just thinking, and you have those years where economic times are tight, people need to pull the purse strings on your household budget, and maybe one of the first things that they consider expendable might be, you know, the money for somebody's dance class.
I think that through the years, I haven't been here all the years, but you know, everything surges and plunges and changes. Every year is new. You know, you hope that the students continue and stay with you, as many do in our school. They start when they're three and wow, they stay with us until they end up, you know, graduating and going on to college. And then after college, we have a percentage of them that come back and dance as adults. So I think the environment in our school is about growing up, is about families, is about learning, is about what my mom said in that interview with Valerie Ocker, where she said she saw that there was more.
Hmm.
There was a richness to life, and there was more to life. As we all know, it's more than just one thing.
Yeah.
So we are fortunate that is the type of studio we are.
And did the studio, I mean, I know it must have grown and expanded. Did it start off with a focus on children and then grow to now encompass, you know, students of all ages?
Yeah. Well, Jean always danced with her students. So a lot of the earlier pictures, she's in there with the teenagers and she looks just like them. So
yes,
she had come out of her career of, you know, coming from the Radio City stage and from the New York stage, and she just continued dancing. And then later on, when my niece was young, there are pictures of, you know, she and her grandmother in the studio dancing together. And she danced with her students through the years until it came to the point where, you know, she did not take the stage. So she was right there. And so I don't think that it ever was a true focus for only children, but kind of encompassing the whole ball of wax.
Yeah.
And that dance goes through all of our lives. And even if you go through a dance school and you end up not pursuing a dance career, you will become an arts advocate yourself and you will become an audience member. And we always need audience members.
Yes, yes. Yeah, Jean had also talked about, it was kind of a funny story about one year having these 10 boys come and take a class and then hoping they would come back the next year, but they decided to go out for baseball or football or something instead. And I'm wondering if that's still like a gender stereotype you battle in the dance world. Is it still, is it primarily girls and women?
I wish I could give you a different answer, but it is. And we talk about boys. We talk about boys dancing all the time in our school, on our show on Sunday at the Broadway Palm. We have 5 dancing boys, which I am so proud of. They range in ages from 5 to 13. And the oldest one, who is maybe he's 12 and not quite 13, Bryson, he is Mrs. Beauchamp's great-grandson. So Bryson is performing in the May O'Donnell segment of Dance Energies. He's dancing in the modern section, in the tap, in the ballet. And shortly on his heels is his younger brother, Owen. And Owen is Mrs. Beauchamp's great-great-grandson. And he is in tap and ballet and looking forward to the day when he does the rest. There is Tegan Fitzgerald Jeffcoat, who's my godson, who is 10. And then there's Owen Just, who is a hip-hop master. So we've got 5 wonderful little boys.
Oh, great to hear. Great to hear.
So we're going to try to change that stereotype.
And thanks so much for bringing it back to the festival. I've been remiss not bringing that up much. Tell us about it. What will the audience expect to see? Because, I mean, I know you've got like there's guest dancers. I know you have choreographers coming from out of town.
Yes, yes. Well, it will be a lovely afternoon, as only the Broadway Palm can do. It is wonderful that we can honor Jean Beauchamp with this type of a festive afternoon that will start with a brunch. And we have a slideshow that we will show of collective photographs through the years of people love to see pictures. Even if we don't know the people in the pictures, we love the pictures, but kind of recapping her life. On the stage will be some recap of choreography that we have done in the past. A few of the pieces are in tribute to Jean. Personally, I choreographed a Moonlight Sonata, which is in and of itself is a fabulous piece of music. And to dedicate to my mom, I could think of nothing more beautiful. So I have adult dancers who are dancing that, and we have brought in Nancy Lushington, who set the opening of Dance Energies, which is a piece from the 1950s. I think the choreography year is 1958 from May O'Donnell. And we have Carla Amancio and Felipe Teixeira, who are coming from Dance Alive National Ballet.
Yeah.
And, you know, every year we look forward to the festival, and each year we'll bring in some new talent from far and beyond to thrill our audiences, along with our Dance Beauchamp dancers.
I mean, this one's got to be especially meaningful. I mean, not just because it's a tribute to Jean, but because, as you said, this is something you prepare for all year. I imagine there's going to be some aspects of this that Jean herself maybe had a hand in helping with as far as the dancers performing on the stage.
Oh, I think so. I think those that actually were in class with her, and there's not a day that doesn't go by where somebody will say, remember when Mrs. Beauchamp would say, and a lot of her teaching quotes come up and little tidbits and things where she was always searching and trying to help people become their best selves.
Yeah. And, you know, just in light of what we know to be Jean's commitment to really fostering that precision that is necessary for the foundation of a great dancer in the future, I was hoping you could just tell me about what it really takes. Because I remember doing a story a few years ago where I was talking with some these might be 13, 14-year-old girls who had taken a master class with a couple members of the Miami City Ballet. And I'd been recording them and, you know, trying not to get kicked while I had my audio equipment trying to get their footwork. But then afterwards, we're just sitting on the
floor. You're brave.
Yeah. We're all just sitting on the floor of the studio, sort of, you know, just talking, and they're taking off their shoes. And I it was crazy. I couldn't believe how disgusting their feet were. Cracked toes and they're bleeding and hematomas. Yes,
yeah.
Yes. I mean, and then saying like, you know, they don't do the normal things girls their age do. They don't do sleepovers. Yeah. You don't do sleepovers when you're going to be at the studio at 6 a.m. on Saturday morning. Yeah. It's a lifestyle. It's not really a – it's so much more than a profession.
Yeah. And those are the hard choices. You know, you do have to say, what am I going to do and do I love it that much? Because I think that each person that gets into dance, I'll say dance, it could apply to many other fields in our lives, but it starts out with a joy. And you hope that through the training, because it becomes rigorous and it's difficult to become very good. And that is also one of the things that make you love it so much is that when you do feel that accomplishment, you get a great sense of self and self-satisfaction, which feeds the joy. But you have to start with the joy. And then you have to have the physical instrument that can achieve the feats, whether they are high jumps or turns or beautiful line, musicality, a personality that gets along with others, a personality that can listen and take in a lot of information, process and put it right back out there very, very quickly, because dancers do, dance with others in real time in front of live audiences. And then somehow along the way, you have to have the financial backing somehow to get you to greater venues to experience greater teachers and, you know, bigger pieces of choreography and what the art itself can bring.
Yeah.
So it takes a synthesis of all of those things.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah. Well, we are about running out of time for this segment, but is there any final thoughts you want to leave us with, either about your mother or about this Sunday's upcoming Tribute Festival of Dance?
I am looking forward very much to this Sunday Festival of Dance. I hope to see a lot of familiar faces, a time to look back and reflect, enjoy smiles of each other and warm hearts and the joy that dance brings. I think that is one of the things that Jean Boche gave to others. She gave her students confidence. She gave them life skills of, you know, being on time and being able to make decisions and being able to stand up in front of a group. And so in all of those things, I think we will have a wonderful afternoon Festival of Dance at the Broadway Palm on Sunday, June 24th. 12 o'clock is the set off and 2 o'clock is the performance. And I just hope everyone comes and joins us. It'll be fun.
We've been taking a look back at the life, accomplishments, and contributions of Jean Boche with her daughter Elise Boche, and that is ahead of this Sunday afternoon's Festival of Dance in honor of Jean. That's going to be, again, this Sunday, June 24th at the Broadway Palm Dinner Theater here in Fort Myers. Thanks so much for being with us. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you, John. Thank you very much.
We're taking a short break, but when we return, Fort Myers' own rock band, The Electric Mud, is live in studio. We'll hear about the band and hear them perform live just before they hit the road for their first national tour. I'm John Davis, and you're listening to Gulf Coast Live on WGCU. Stay with us.